The attention span of a little child is very short. I can see Jacqueline, Cindy and Jack's little girl, and she'll say, "Papaw." No, she'll say, "I want to ride Papaw's horsey." Now, Papaw's horsey is Papaw's knees. And I'll put her on my knees, and I'll say, "Ride a little horsey, London town, or ride a little horsey going downtown." It's true, everything I'm saying. It's true. Let me change that just a little bit. And she'll say, "Want to ride Papaw's horsey again?" Now, Papaw's horsey will ride her again. And then, after no more than 60 seconds, she says, I want down. I mean, the horse is just getting warmed up. She wants down. A little child has to have constant inspiration externally to keep happy. Now, I can tell you how mature you are emotionally by how long your attention span is and whether or not you have to have different stimulus or stimuli to keep you responding. Jesus saw some little children, and I've used this text before, but not for this message. And little children were playing on the streets late in the afternoon, I think. And one little child said, "Let's play wedding." And one little child said, "Okay, I'll play the organ, and you be the bride, you be the groom." And so the pipes began to play, and they danced up and down. I don't mean what we call dancing, but up and down to dance. And so our Lord saw the children, and finally one of them played the pipe and didn't dance anymore. No response at all. Then somebody said, "Let's play funeral." And you all mourn and you lament. And they mourned, and the other kid lamented, but after a while they got tired of it. Jesus said, "That's where you are." He said, "You don't respond like you used to respond. The things that used to stimulate you don't stimulate you anymore. You quit responding. Herein lies the base for all your depression, all your blue Mondays, all your blahs, is because you don't respond anymore." If you could listen to this message tonight, though it won't be the greatest sermon you ever heard, it could, honestly, change your whole life. If you could somehow find a way to continue to respond to what you once responded to or responded to. But you see, your problem is your blue days and your depression and your blahs. Your problem is you quit responding. You know, I was thinking last night, in the last 3 weeks, I've had vacation Bible school and youth conference. And I was thinking about the sermon I was going to preach this morning. My soul, what a span it is from that sermon this morning to Silly Billy, Fuidini. I mean, and I was thinking about the different hats that I've worn in the last few weeks. And I was thinking this. I thank God that I've learned to continue to respond to the same stimulus and stimuli. I mean, in 1949, I think it was, Silly Billy was born. He was born the same age he is now. But I created Silly Billy at the Grange Hall Baptist Church out in the country in East Texas in 1949. 34 consecutive years I've had Silly Billy. Now, I'll be honest. I get the same excitement when he walks through that door I did 34 years ago. I mean, it's always the same. Now, the truth is, it excites me. You know, in the same year, 1949, 34 years ago, I created Fuidini. I was Silly Billy and Fuidini. And I'd say, now then, it's time for Silly Billy. And I'd go out and put on Silly Billy's outfit and come back in, be Silly Billy. I'd say, now we have a famous magician. I'd go out and put an outfit, come back and be Fuidini. And yet, it's the same response. And I thank God, I don't have to have something new all the time to keep me enjoying life. I'm thankful that I can enjoy the things I used to enjoy. I haven't got to always be unwrapping something new. I can, and by the way, if not one single new thing ever happened to me from this moment forward, I got enough things I respond to where I would enjoy life immensely from here on in. And I'm not going to let 56 years and another month, another 2 months, I'll be 57. I'm not going to let 57 or 58 or 59 or 60 keep me from responding. I want to enjoy life. And I don't want my enjoyment to depend on you. I want it to depend on me. And if I can keep my response to what's already here, I can always have an eventful, an enjoyable, and spicy life, and a thrilling life. But you see, a lack of character only causes people only respond to something for a while, and then it lose the response. He doesn't see. Here's what happens. Now follow me carefully, because I'm gonna need your mind tonight. You may need it someday yourself. So follow me carefully. A certain something excites us, enthuses us, and thrills us. And then it does again, and again, and again, but a little less all the time. And then all of a sudden, our response grows dull, and immediately we blame the stimulus. Stimulus is the same. But we say, he doesn't excite me anymore. Or she doesn't thrill me anymore. Now, maybe he's doing the same thing he always did, or she's doing the same thing she always did, but we blame the stimulus. For example, it's not the same here anymore. Now, the truth is, people that say it's not the same here anymore are people who don't need the same all the time. It's the sameness that causes your problem. You got to have something new and refreshing and exciting all the time. To me, there's nothing as exciting as the old. I don't tell you why. Because I know what the old does. I don't know what the new's going to do, but I know what the old does. I know. When Pee Wee waddles out of that door in Bible school, I know. I say, what is your name? He's going to say, 4. And I'm going to say, and how old are you? He's going to say, Pee Wee. Now to me, that's always funny. I don't have to have some. He hadn't got to think of a new joke. Listen, I heard John Rice's sermons till I knew them by heart. I preached 2,200 times with that man, and by the way, the same thing that California needed, Virginia needed. The same sermon that Florida needed, Oregon needed. And I've heard his sermons, I know I've heard some of his sermons 200 times. But you know, I never got to the place where I said, oh boy, same old sermon. I got to the place where I said, hey boy, I like that one. And if he had missed a joke in one of them, I'd tell him after service, you forgot something tonight. You know, he'd get up. He'd get up and announce, I'm preaching tonight. He'd say, I'm going to preach tonight on a prayer, asking and receiving. Oh, I love that. I loved it. And I'd say, hot dog, again, asking and receiving. You see, folks, you don't enjoy life because, by the way, you know what? Did you know in any area of life, all the stimulus is going to run out sooner or later? I mean, the new, you're going to eventually use up everything that's new in every relationship of life. And in every institution of life, you're going to use up everything that is new. And if you have got to have something new, you'll be changed all the time. That's why people have to buy new houses all the time. That's why some folks have to. I know gospel singers that could not stay in the same church over a year. Because why? Because the people, the same people don't stimulate them anymore. I know preachers that can't stay at a church because they've got to always have. I preached last Monday night in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Well, I stood up there and signed Bibles, I guess, for 40 minutes after the service on Monday night. And if you let me say this to some of those people, they've never seen me. I mean, and when you've never seen me and you get to see me, it's such a wonderful experience. I mean, because I'm even more than you dreamed I would be. I don't mean weight. But I am. Now look, forgive me for a second. I go places, Doc, and you know this too. I go places where in some ways I'm a celebrity to people. Now, I come back here on Wednesday night. I walk in. Big deal, big deal. There's old Jackie boy again, you know. And now, I don't need to have that celebrity. In fact, I like it better like it is here. I don't need that. I haven't got to have somebody ooh and ah over me all the time. I don't have to have it. Why? Because I've got the thank God, the habit of responding to the old. Look, I want to respond to what I have. Because if I've got to respond to what I don't have, then my chances of happiness and contentment are pretty slim. But if I can respond to what I have, I can always be happy and content. So I do. We do. He doesn't excite me anymore. She doesn't move me anymore. It's not the same here anymore. My people don't move me. My folks, preachers say this all the country. My folks don't respond. A preacher said, they said, little house, what's happened to my people? They don't respond anymore. I said, you happened to them. You know, I said, preachers all across the country, if you don't enjoy your preaching, nobody else will enjoy your preaching. No way. All the world loves a lover. And all people love to hear somebody who loves to hear himself. I'll be honest with you. I say this all across the country. I have become my favorite preacher. I don't think I'm a great preacher, but love to do it. You see? So when it's time to preach, I want to do it. Why? Because I excite. And listen, the first time I preached a sermon down in a church, in the Friendship Baptist Church, Marshall, Texas, 10 miles out on the Carthage Highway, when I didn't have an outline, and the deacon got up and said, our pastor's gone, and brother, we have a fill-in, a Reverend Jack Hiles, and he's going to preach. I sat right there. I had no Bible, no outline. I had no sermon. I had no illustration. I didn't have any more idea what I was going to say than those people did. And I opened my Bible, it just fell open like it did here tonight. And I started reading. For he maketh sore. Says, he maketh sore. Anybody sore tonight? God made you sore. That sore you got on your hand, that's God. He maketh sore. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. But I said, you better not get seven. Six. God couldn't deliver. Five troubles, four troubles, three troubles, two, one, eight, nine, ten, six troubles. I said, you got two troubles, get you four more. You got eight, get rid of two of them. And all I did was read a verse and a holler, and read a verse and a holler, and read a verse and a holler. And after 15 minutes, I was reading and hollering. After 30 minutes, I was reading and hollering. I was having the time of my life. After 45 minutes, I was reading and hollering. And you know, I've been doing that now for years, just reading and hollering. Now, I mean it. I was carried away. I mean, I was preaching. I was a preacher. Let me tell you something. This morning, when I walked into this pulpit, behind this pulpit, didn't walk in it, and stood to preach what I think this morning was an amazing truth about the love of God and the immensity of the love of God and the honing of God's love, I was as excited as I was that first time at the Friendship Baptist Church over 40,000 sermons ago. And that's why preachers dry up, and that's why they gotta change churches. Why? Because they've got to have stimulus that's new. And they're like these little kids here. The Lord Jesus said, the little boy said, I played the pipe. You won't dance. Well, I don't want to dance. Well, you're supposed to dance. I don't want to dance. I'm tired dancing. Well, I mourn, and you haven't lamented. I don't want to lament anymore. I want to play something else. And that's exactly the way that 90% of the Christian folks in this country are, and many folks in this room tonight. You've got to have something brand new. You're tired of playing what you've been playing. Let me tell you. One of the happiest days in your life will be that day when you continue to respond the same way to the same stimulus all the time. Hear me now. Depression's caused by a vacuum. Depression wants in. It pushes to get in, and it's my job to see that there's no room for it. Somebody said to the house, you ever get depressed? Now, I probably never. Now, sometimes I get a little melancholy. Sometimes I may get a bit introspective, or maybe a little quiet, but I do not recall when I ever got real depressed in my life for years and years. I mean, really down in the dumps, and I've never one time considered suicide. I've considered murder several times, but never suicide. But you know one reason? You say, well, I wish I had that kind of disposition. You have the same kind of disposition I have. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And the difference in you and me is I keep my void filled with positive things so there's not time nor room nor space for depression to get in. Now, I say depression's caused by a vacuum. It wants in. It pushes to get in. It's my job to see there's no room for it. If I can keep my life so filled with response, then depression can't find its way in. It happens to churches. Listen, I go to churches all over America. I've seen them change. I've seen churches that once were responsive become all of a sudden just like a bunch of dead wood in the pew. I've seen preachers. I can show you preachers. You put them at pastor school to preach and they'll pull down the chandeliers. You put them at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship with about 3,000 or 4,000 preachers there. And they'll ring the bell. But you take them up to Canada, where I go sometimes, where they just look at you. If you say something funny, they just write ha-ha on a piece of paper. You say something sad, they write boo-hoo on a piece of paper. And one day I decided I wasn't going to let my joy depend on the crowd. I'm just as saved whether you say amen or not. The Bible's just as so whether you asleep. And listen, I've seen old John R. Rice. God bless him. I never saw a man like that in my life when it comes to this. I've seen him. I've seen him at the Bill Rice Ranch when the old tabernacle had no walls, had a metal roof. I've seen it rain like it rained a while ago to where you, listen, John Rice couldn't hear himself. I was sitting right behind him or on the front row and couldn't understand a word he said. I've seen him preach an hour sermon that way. Hour, nobody heard him. What do you say? Why did he preach it? Because he enjoyed it. You have to have any response. I've seen that old man when half the crowd is sound asleep. He didn't know about it. I've seen him say, ha! Ha! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Ha! Ha! And nobody, nobody. And I've seen him preach at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, where you can't even see the people there. They're all moving so much. Like blurs. I've seen him preach in places. I saw him preach one night up in Pennsylvania in a church. It was the deadest church I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a deader church. The choir director was a female who wasn't even saved. She led the local civic choir. And boy, she got mad at Dr. Rice and me, and a pastor stood for her and old Dr. Rice got up. And he said, this is a pretty nice building. You ought to organize a church here. He said, Denessa, this tank up here, it'd make a good baptistry. You ought to use it sometime. He didn't care. He didn't have to have Stan out there all the time, preach. He came to our church in Texas. I had a fellow named J.B. Cumbus when he was young. Old J.B. would preach more than I would. I'd be preaching along. He'd sit over here on my left, about the second row in the front. Amen. That's right. That's what it says. It's in the Bible. I see it. It's right there. Amen. It's in there. It's what the Bible says. If God's, I believe. Amen. Preacher, go on. And he'd preach. And honestly, much as I'd say sometimes, I expect many times, he said more words than I did. I've seen John Rice preach. Old J.B. hollering like that. Didn't affect John Rice a bit. I've seen John Rice preach when nobody even said a holy grunt. Didn't affect him a bit. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. That's your trouble. That's your trouble. You see, 20 pastor schools. 20. You try to get up for that 20 times, 20 years. Try to get the same burden for America. 20 years. Now, same pulpit, 24 years. 24 years, same pulpit. Some of you folks have heard me preach thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Listen. I'm not a great preacher, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I ain't no worse than I was 24 years ago. I go the same places. Tomorrow, I'll be out in a place in out west, 14th consecutive year. I was down in Garland, Texas, my 23rd consecutive year for preaching for Dr. Gary Coleman. 23 years. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying I've got to go to a new place. Now, I can go to a new place, Doc. I can go to part of the country where they've never seen me. And boy, they'll drive for miles and miles and watch the door. I don't have to have that. And by the way, if you get where you don't, you'll be a happy person for it. When the pipe plays dance, when they mourn, lament. When the stimulus is offered, respond to it. Now, I'm going to give you some ways. One, if you continue to respond to the same stimulus or stimuli, you must change your response from your heart and senses to your mind. It goes back to self-discipline. The first time something excites you, boy, your senses. You love the way it sounds. You love the way it smells. You love the way it looks. You love the way it feels. But now that same thing over and over and over again. Listen, boy, I could help you if you'd listen to me. I could help you young ladies getting married, about to get married. I could help you to keep driving your husband back wacky and bankrupt if you'd listen to me. You haven't got to have something new every day. Now I'm saying, the time has to come when your response to stimulus is transferred from here to here. Let's face it, Stan. It don't do to you the same thing exactly. Let me change it. It doesn't do to your wife the same thing exactly when you kiss her that it did the first time when you were a freshman in Howells Anderson College. And if it does, someday it won't. Now, sometimes, look, to some of you people, how many of you folks here, members of our church, but you weren't always, and to me, to you at one time, I was a well-known preacher, came in, and honestly, when you heard me the first time, you'd heard about me, and you honestly, you just couldn't wait to see what it looked like. Raise your hand, would you please? All right, many of you, thank you. Now, were you that way tonight? Did you look up there and say, boy, I'm going to get to see Jack Hiles in person? No, you didn't do that. But you may have done this, if you do what I'm talking about. you may have said, I remember the first time I heard that man, how much I wanted to hear him. And now he's my preacher. And he's going to walk to that door in a few minutes, and my heart's not going to pound like it did at one time. But in my mind, I feel cozy. He's my preacher. He's going to come out and preach something, try to help me tonight. You see, you've transferred that response from the senses of the heart to the mind. Number two, you want to respond? Remember when you didn't have it. I drove by the place the other day down in Dallas, Texas. I told Jack DeCosta was with me. I said, Jack, see that building right there? He said, yes, sir. I said, that's where when I was 14 years old, I ate my first cheeseburger. I don't think I ever tasted anything that I thought was as near what I hoped they have in heaven as I did when I ate that first cheeseburger. I mean, honestly, melted cheese on meat. Glory to God. Now look, I had a cheese quarter pounder Tuesday afternoon. Now, I didn't eat that cheese, take the first bite, and say, glory to God. Woo! I must have this in heaven. No, I'll tell you what I did. I sat down before I ate it, and I remembered that first one. And I relived that first cheeseburger I had. Let's see, I was 14 years old. That's been 15 years ago or more. That... Remember, and you know, listen. Then I thought this. Now look, this is mine. This isn't because, oh boy, taste my eye. No, that's not it anymore. Now I used to walk by that place on the way to catch the bus or the streetcar and look in there and see them frying those cheeseburgers. And boy, I drew all over the place. Now I don't do that anymore. I don't go by McDonald's and drew. I go up and get me a cheese quarter pounder, which I happen to think is the best sandwich that you can buy at a store. And I get me a cheese quarter pounder, got one Tuesday night, and I realize how I felt at one time and how fortunate I am to be able to afford a cheese quarter pounder and how I used to want to have something like that. And thank God I can do it now about any time that I want to. And with my mind, I stirred up a response and enjoyed that cheese quarter pounder more than I did the first one 42 years ago. Why? Because I've transferred my responding from my heart to my mind. You see, you're my people. I'm yours, you're mine. We belong to each other. God says He's given the pastor to the churches as a gift for their edification, and God gave me to you, and God gave you to me. Now, let's face it. If I'd ever thought I'd have preached one time to this many people right here, why, I'd have shouted about it. Now, I don't walk out here on Sunday and say, oh, glory to God, look at this crowd, man alive. No, don't do that. It doesn't hit me like that. I come out and I remember when I used to preach to 30 people a Sunday. And I dreamed that someday I might preach to 100. And now that every Sunday, thousands and thousands come. Why? Why? Why do I get excited? Because it's the mind. Listen. Your trouble is you let external stimulus affect the senses, and your enjoyment is built on, does it look good, taste good, feel good, smell good? You put one more sense there and have it think good. Does it think good? Does it think good? Read my poem sometime on how to make another John R. Rice. I thought tonight as I looked at his grave,
in the movie of the Bill Rice Ranch. I was sitting out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He was preaching. And I was sitting out there thinking, how I used to want to meet him. I used to sit in the classroom at East Texas Baptist College and hope that someday I could just get a glimpse of John Rice. And I, listen, that old man never preached over 2,200 times we preached together. That old man never stood behind the pulpit and preached not one time. Well, I didn't stop and think, there's the fella that one day I wanted to get to shake his hand sometime, and now I'm preaching with him. Every time I shook his hand, the first time I shook his hand, I thought it was charged. I mean, I just tingled all over, honestly. But that tingling quit. But this tingling never quit. That did. This didn't. That's why you can't be satisfied in that. That's why some of you people, you change churches as often as you change clothes. I've said every time. Now listen. You say, well, I just can't remember that. I can't remember to do it. Tie a string around your stupid finger. Or your smart one, either one. Tie a string around it. And I'd sit out there. And that little ritual went through. Every time you preach, I'd stop and I'd say, that's John R. Rice up there. That's the man who one day I wanted to shake his hand. I wanted to meet him. I wanted to hear him preach. And now I'm speaking with him. Every time I heard him, I said that. And every time I heard him, I also said this. I said, someday I'll be alive and he'll be gone. And I want to serve notice to you. He never one time preached in all those years with me what Jack Hiles didn't soak it up, because I realized when I didn't have him, and I realized I would someday not have him, and I was going to enjoy it while I did have him. Remember, you didn't have it. Now, they didn't say this. Remember, you won't always have it. You want to know how to appreciate this church? You won't always have this church. And one of the saddest things... Yeah, all across this country. People come up to me and say, oh, Brother Hyam, I love you so much, I didn't know what I had at First Baptist till I lost it. Well, why don't you start knowing what you got? Think. Every time all the preludes being played, you ought to stop and say, this is First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. God's blessing us like He's never blessed a church in the history of the New Testament church. And I'm a part of it. And I'm sitting in the pew tonight where gospel history is being made. And I'm not going to someday look back and say, I wish I had known. I'm going to know now, right now. I'm going to respond now. Boy, I love it. Boy, I've used it in years. Dolph Shays. Dolph Shays is a basketball player. He used to play for the Syracuse Nationals. At the time he played, Dolph Shays had scored more points than any other player in the National Basketball Association. Here's how he did it. He went alone for the game. And he said to him, did some thinking every game. He said, now, he said, I'm going to play basketball. And I've got to put that round ball through that round hoop. And there's a fella out there who's going to guard me, man-to-man defense, and he's going to try to keep me from putting that round ball through that hook. If he succeeds, I don't make any points. I don't make any points. I don't keep my place on the team. I don't keep my place on the team. I'll get kicked off the squad. I'll get kicked off the squad. I don't get paid. I don't get paid. I don't eat. I don't eat. My kids don't eat. My wife doesn't eat. And they don't eat, they'll die. He'd walk on the court, and the guy's guarding him. He'd have to shake his hand. He'd have to take your old murderer's hand away from me. He had character. I mean that. He had character. You just sit here. Well, see what you can do to me. Well, nobody can do anything with you. Right. Whatever flies by, a mosquito comes, I'll suck it. If I sing the song I like, I'll like it. If I don't like it, I won't like it. Look, brother, if you don't like it, you can thank God it's going to end. I mean, listen, character is when people do things on purpose.
I have fun on purpose. I enjoy things on purpose. I delight on purpose. I respond on purpose.
I'm tired. I'm not going to dance anymore. Let's play something else.
It must change heart and senses. Remember when you didn't have it. Remember you will not always have it. Look, please don't misunderstand this. I'm not wanting you to appreciate me. I change that. I'm not. I have all the appreciation I need. I have all the love I need. I know church is any kinder to preacher than you are to me. I'm not. I don't need anything.
But you need. Young people, look. You don't know this, but you're going to misunderstand me. Some of you are going to have real good ammunition. I'm going to give you a whole lot of it. If you like to blast me, I'm going to give you a lot of ammunition. So get your quiver out. I'm going to put a lot of arrows in it for you. But one of these days, young people, you're going to say, when I was a boy, Dr. Jack Hiles was my preacher. And First Baptist Church Hammond is my church. Now the tragedy is, don't you think you could say now, the First Baptist Church is my church? There's a man in this room tonight, one of the finest members we have, stood up one night at deacon's meeting and said something I've never forgotten. He said, "Men, I want you to know I appreciate my preacher and my church." He said, "I was a member of Moody Church in Chicago when Dr. Ironside was there." He said, "I lived in that church. To me, Ironside was my preacher, and that church is my church. But I went to that church Sunday after Sunday and year after year and never realized exactly what was going on back in the heyday of Moody Church." He said, "Men, God's been mighty good to me. He's let me have another chance. And I'm not going to muffle it this time or blow it. Remember, you won't always have it. And then remember how you used to enjoy it. Hey, play like it's the first time. Play like it's the first time. You know, I like to play like Larry. Well, Larry drives me a lot of places. We got one of these hippie vans and I'm letting my hair grow long. Larry, you know what I do? You don't know this, but you may be driving me from the airport, and I may have finished opening my mail, and I may have about 10 minutes to nod. You think I'm sleeping. You know what I'm doing? Huh? I'm driving through the Rocky Mountains, about over on Dan Ryan. Close your eyes. You can see anything you want to see. Like Bill Harvey said. He said, "I'd like to have a date with, what's her name? What's that? No, she's too sunburned for Bill Harvey," he said. "Oh, yeah. Bill Harvey said, I'd like to have a date with Liz Taylor again." I said, "Bill, did you have a date with Liz Taylor?" "No," he said, "one time before I wanted to have a date with Liz Taylor." Now, I have no idea who Liz Taylor is. He just called the name and I don't know what mission field she serves on at all. But you know the Dan Ryan Expressway? In the back seat of that van, I've traveled on the Grecian Isles. I've wound my way through Big Thompson Canyon on my way to Estes Park, Colorado. I've been through the Loveland Pass in the Rocky Mountains. I've been along that beautiful, gorgeous drive on the Gulf Coast. I've prayed on the Mount of Olives. I've flown over the Swiss Mountains. Again and again. Why? All I got to do is shut my eyes and see what I want to see. Man, I shut my eyes look, get in your bathroom, close your eyes and turn that faucet on. Think you're Niagara Falls. Brother, it's not the stimulus that's changed. It's your response that's changed. And you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be sad. If you will, in your own heart, have enough character to discipline yourself to respond. Play like it's the first time. I know she weighs 240 now. And I know her hair's turned white and yours has turned loose. I know that. Look, Shut your eyes when you kiss her. And remember,
I know. He parts his, used to part his hair in the middle. Still does. Just a bigger part. And you've got to bend over a great deal when you kiss him to get over that watermelon in between them. Shut your eyes while you kiss him.
Remember that. Think of the big bushy head of hair he used to have.
And don't feel up there. And then you want to keep on responding. Change it from your heart and sense it from the mind. Remember when you didn't have it. Remember when you, well, you're not always have it. Remember you used to, how you used to enjoy it. And then remember, this is something many would like to have. Look, I wonder tonight, Ralph, Doc, I wonder how many preachers would give their eye teeth to preach one sermon where I'm standing. I just wonder. Well, bless God, it's up to me to see to it that not a one of them, if they got the chance, would enjoy it any more than I'm enjoying it. Look, I'm standing where people would love to stand. I hate to tell you that. You may hire one of them. But I'm standing where thousands of, listen, I just wonder how many preachers are in America. If I wrote them and said, I want you to preach at First Baptist Church Hammond, I just wonder how many of them could read the letter standing up. But I do it three times a week. And I refuse to let them, because of external stimulus to the heart and the senses, I refuse not to distance myself after 24 years. I refuse to have less fun here tonight than they would have if they were here tonight. By the way, you need to stop and think, everything you do, how many people would love to do what you're doing? I wonder how many millions multiply, hundreds of millions of people, if they could get inside a moving machine and push a button and cool air came out. You know, every time you turn your air conditioner on, you can have a hallelujah fit if it's here instead of here. Yeah. Well, I want to take you and shake you and spank you. And rake you over the coals and then hug you. Boy, you could have a, if you'd get this thing in your mind instead of your senses every day of your life, you could have a tent, an old fashioned tent camp meeting every day of your life. Anybody here? You know what our heater was in our house for a lot of time? It was newspaper in the window. Every time I look at my shoe, realize that I don't have to have a piece of cardboard in them. All you need is some character. That's all you need. You got to have something new. Something new. Look, I know that old dress you got is 13 years old. But remember how you used to want it? Remember it. Whatever you have. Something. You have something. By the way, let me say this too. If you want to keep on responding, you force yourself to do business right down here. A lot of you folks are destroying your Christian life because you're too good to kneel at an altar. You are. You're not growing in grace. Listen. You quit responding. You quit enjoying. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, I got to enjoy before I respond. That's characterless people. Follow me. Character responds, then enjoys. Lack of character enjoys and then responds. If I don't enjoy it, I won't respond. Look, tonight if I were sitting in this audience, I'd say to myself, am I responding like I should? Well, you say, well, how? None to respond to. If you say that, you really got problems. I'm amazed. It's how you sit out there and listen to the offertory, or don't listen. Force yourself to. Have a little mental exercise. I am going to listen to the offertory. I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to listen to it. And if I know the words, I'm going to go along in my mind with the word. Look, character, discipline.
I'll go to the airport tomorrow morning for the 17,247,614th time, give or take a few. And I'll go to the same little place and check my bags. And I'll get a little card and I'll board the airplane. And I guess I've sat in every seat on every airplane that flies in the sky. Every airplane that crashes, I've been on it. I'll think about, sure, sometimes I say to myself, wish I didn't have to go. And then I'll stop and think. One of these days, I'll be in intensive care in a hospital. One of these days, old ticker's going to have a sharp pain to it. Or one of these days, a stroke's going to knock me off my feet. And one of these days, I'll take my last plane, take a trip, and I'll preach my last time. And I always say, son, you better live it up. Why, you got the chance. We don't play wedding anymore. We don't play funeral. Look, do your business at the altar. Do your business at the altar. I'm talking about you folks been here for years. There are folks tonight in this room that the invitation is not for you. Now, you're the loser. You're losing. You are. You're losing. I don't care. Listen, I love it to see Harriet Goodlow sometime come down here about 60 steps at a time, get on her knees at the old-fashioned mourner's bench. I mean, nobody needs to do it anymore. Harriet, sin all in her life. I mean, that's Miss Bartels coming down. Need it. And Mama, you ought to get out here sometime. But you're immune. I'll tell you what you're immune to. You're immune to blessing. You're immune to responding. Because you only enjoy that which is fresh and new and exciting. Somebody said the other day to me, I was preaching a certain sermon. He said, I've heard that before. I said, don't feel bad, son. I've heard it 316 times. I preached my sermon the other night, Wednesday night, on the Sheriff of the Other Son. I preached that all across this country, national conventions. Man, when I get that boy going out in the field in the morning, his brother, his boss, it always affects me the same way. I refuse, I refuse to let the way it feels on my hand to decide my response. Or the way it tickles the feathers of my heart to decide my response. Brother, if God will give me sanity and a mind and discipline, I'm going to plan to respond. I'm going to work on it. And on purpose, I'm going to respond. Brother, God let me preach to 90 years of age. I hope I'll still, when I preach on the love of God, get as excited as I did this morning, as I have been these 7 weeks. Some golden daybreak. We sang that a while ago, didn't we? Quiet is. Some golden daybreak. Jesus will come. You know what you did? First time you heard that, you went goo-goo. You know what I did? I went to the Moberly Avenue Baptist Church of Longview, Texas, and sat there while you were singing. And heard it the first time in 1950. First time! I thought that's the prettiest thing I'd ever heard in my life. Some golden daybreak. Jesus come. And I sat there as a kid preacher at Moberly Avenue Baptist Church a while ago and lived it up. I lived it up. And yet, to you, big deal. I heard it before. Young people are the worst. Big deal. Big deal. Ask you a question, kids. What did the old sermons I preached here do to you this week? They were new to the other kids. What did it do to you? Huh? What did they do to you? If you got any sense, you can so discipline your mind where you can go through life on top side all the time. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there as a cross. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. What's the difference? I'm thinking, you're singing. That's all. I'm singing and thinking. My thinking is better than my singing. I'm thinking, I'm singing and thinking. You're just, so you folks sitting right now, your mind is just not, listen, if I, you're waiting for the next funny story. That's what you, waiting for the next punchline. I like to kill a punchline. You're waiting for it. And you're the loser. You're the loser. Try yourself sometime. If you sit there tonight or some night in Little House preaches on something and you say to yourself, that's true, I don't feel like I'm not tingling in here and there's nothing pushing me down the aisle, but I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to close with that. I was preaching in Brooklyn, New York. A half a block or a small block down the street was a big store. Everybody almost in that church traded at that store. And everybody at church owed that man some money. And that man, he was a Catholic man, never was saved. He heard the pastor of the largest church in America was going to come preach there, and he wanted to come to hear him. And I said, the main reason you ought to get saved is because you're supposed to get saved. I didn't say, I've done wrong with this. There's a cross. Jesus died for you. Look at that cross. Look at that blood. Look at it. Come to Jesus. Now that's good. I didn't say it. I didn't say, picture your hands in hell. Burning and burning and falling and screaming, come on and trust the Savior. For some reason that night I said, the main reason you ought to get saved is because it's the thing to do. You live on God's earth, you eat God's food, drink God's water, enjoy God's sunshine, breathe God's air. You've got the decency, you trust the Savior. And the owner of that store sat back there and he looked over to the fellow beside him and said, for the first time in my life, I heard something make sense at church. He said, I'm an honorable man. I pay my debts. I'm honest. And that man is right. I do breathe God's air. And I do enjoy God's sunshine. I do drink God's water. I do eat God's food. He didn't tingle. He didn't cry. He just walked down the aisle and took my hand and said, Mister, that made sense. I'm an honest man of integrity. And I plan to pay him, do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm trusting Jesus now. They call that character. Yeah. What I say. I'm going to enjoy it because I'm supposed to enjoy it. I'm going to have fun. I know. Brother Cole, I know what's going to happen. Choir's going to sing. It's a beautiful day to go home. Howells are going to pray. Same prayer. Just reword it. I know. It's a big deal. We're going to sit down. When we sit down and look up, there's going to be several people standing here dressed alike. And they're going to sing. And on the end, they're going to go up high. Always do. Big deal. Yeah. When they sit down, he's going to stand up. Every time. Announce the number. Sometimes he gets it right, sometimes he doesn't. After that number, I was going to get up there for 2.5 hours, make announcements. Then, he's going to sit down, he's going to get up again, announce another one. We've sung it 50,000 times. After he gets through, choir's going to sing. Basses, sopranos and tenors on tune. I'm sorry, tenors, sopranos, and altos on tune. And then there's the basses. Stay out of that. Then, after that, a song. And then about 45 pallbearers coming down the aisle. Same old coats. Then out their own and pick them up out there. None of them ever fit. Here they come down the aisle. Same old stuff. Then Colston's going to stand up. Mispronounce the word Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians 3:10. He's going to read. We're going to read. 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 And then either Boardway or Idson or Colston, not you, or Wolver, going to stand up and sing. And then the Howells are going to stand up and holler. A third of it, never heard before. Two-thirds of it, I've heard 45 times. Then we're going to stand and sing, I surrender all. And I would surrender all just to quit singing. Remember the first time you came? Saw those folks streaming down these aisles? And as they streamed down these aisles, tears streamed down your cheeks. Say, you can still do that. You can still do it. You transfer it from here to here. Go through this little ritual I gave you tonight. I refuse to have a bad time. I just refuse. No way in the world. No, I refuse to do it. I'm going to have a good time. I was on the airplane not long ago. Little boy misbehaving. He had a little car, and I got an aisle. We displayed car the whole trip. Ooh. 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 I was sitting in one end of the plane. He was sitting in the other. Up down the aisle. Went to the car. Said, did you have fun? Sure. I remember how I used to play car when I was a boy. Lift it up again. Oh, I wish tonight. I wish tonight I could transfer. There's not much I've got you need, but I wish I could transfer this one thing I'm talking about there by this house tonight. Your life could be completely transformed. Father, bless the message.